Medium actually is a really quick win. This one I recommend to do it because it's very easy to do. But Reddit, so you can duplicate like your star article on Medium. So if you do this, you're gonna multiply your mention on ChatGPT by two.
Such a smart idea.
Yeah, this is really simple.
Hey, and welcome to the Momentum Podcast, the show where fintech meets AI. I'm your host, Stan Altschuler, investor, founder, an advisor to some of the world's top hedge funds, asset managers, and data companies. Each week, we'll dive into practical AI strategies to help you cut through the noise, beat data overload, build smarter workflows, and turn your ideas into results. We'll explore everything from AI tools for your daily workflows to building data-driven growth engines for your organizations. Here, you'll discover what's next in finance and how to stay ahead of the curve with AI. Let's dive in. All right. Hey, guys, and welcome to the Momentum Podcast. Today, I have a great guest. Very, very excited about this one. This is Ben Tenenbaum joining us today, the founder and CEO of GetISO. We're going to get to what the business is all about, what he's doing. It is super exciting. I have been very much looking forward to this conversation because of all the questions that I have for him. He's on the cutting edge of technology, SEO, and this new art/science of getting mentioned by LLMs. But before we dive in any deeper, Ben, welcome to the show. Why don't you give us a few words just about yourself, about your journey, and how you came to start this company?
Okay, Stan. So yeah, thanks for having me. And So my background is basically it's my second startup. I had another one in real estate data before, benchmarking company for co-working spaces, and we started to see leads coming to us from ChatGPT, and you know, as a consumer, I also started to use ChatGPT more and more in my day to day, and you know, I started to think that this was going to be a new marketing channel and that people would discover, you know, brands and find information. And there was in particular a big gap in the market, I felt, which was that nobody had any idea what people were asking ChatGPT. So that's where I started to explore, and I'm sure we'll talk more about this.
We're going to dive right in. Man, so I really love the content that you post on LinkedIn. I follow you. Everybody else should follow you too. Very data-driven. You make really great infographics and explainers. Just love your stuff and love your thinking. But a lot of these agencies right now are coming out and they're looking at these trends, maybe some of the similar data that you follow, and they're saying, hey, SEO is dead. You need to go all in on LLMs, and Google is not really Google anymore. Now it's ChatGPT and Claude and Perplexity. What is your view? Like if you're a business and you're just trying to improve your online presence, whatever, connect to people through online channels, how should you even think about this? Is SEO dead? Is it not? What's your take on that?
There's several layers to this question. There's SEO in terms of the practice of actually going on Google and looking for things. That's like the narrow definition. And there's SEO in the sense of the business of making sure the brand is well represented in, you know, organic traffic. And I think the answer is slightly different for each. But if you start from the consumer and you wonder, okay, is the SEO dead? That means, you know, are people not searching online for things? And then the answer is obviously no, right? It's just evolving. And you can really look at, you know, ChatGPT as essentially just a new iteration of searching. There's an interesting concept that I don't want to go too deep into it right now, but the concept of search density. Mm-hmm. And you can consider that ChatGPT is really just like Google search, but it's just like a lot of Google search in one conversation, right? So from that sense, SEO is not dead at all. It's just getting concentrated. It's just getting a better iteration, a better product, you know, and user experience is coming to it. And then on the side of the business professionals who have been doing SEO for 10, 20 years, then the answer is of course that it's not dead at all, because a lot of techniques that they've learned are also very useful to making sure that brands are getting their fair share from ChatGPT. And then I'm sure we'll go a little bit more into those.
Yeah, for sure. So I am obviously, you know, deep in marketing myself right now, a little bit different. My clients are more B2B, but I am constantly thinking about how do I get my clients to rank in these LLMs, right? Because a lot of times people will search ChatGPT or Perplexity and they will just get a no-click response, meaning they're going to read something, they're going to get an answer, and they're going to take it away and go on with their day, continue to go on with their day without actually clicking. How should people kind of think about that? Is that okay? Or, you know, do you need to like trick the models in order to really kind of mention you and make sure that you get that brand awareness? What are people thinking about that?
Yeah, there's some very interesting things about this. The first thing I think is that we see that in our data, because we have, I think we'll probably go into it later, we have like a panel of, you know, real ChatGPT conversations, and we also have a bit of behavioral data on how people, like what kind of website they go on before and after they go to ChatGPT, for instance. Right. And then the reality, when you look at this, and I did like recently a search for a hotel, like entirely basically on ChatGPT, is that, you know, people will like go on ChatGPT, ask some questions. So in my case, I wanted a specific neighborhood for the hotel. I wanted like a gym in there, you know, a couple of other things and certain budget. And he basically shortlisted, you know, three of them. And then what did I do? I didn't click on any of these links, right? I just like took the name of the hotel, went to the website, and did the transaction there. So, you know, fewer clicks, but like, it's always like that in marketing, right? It's like the revenue matters at the end, right? It's like, okay, maybe there's fewer clicks, but if your revenue is not falling off, then I think it's just that they're going in a different, through a different, you know, channel. So that's probably a decent mental model right now, right? For these AI models, is that it's the place where people do the research, and the old like click, you know, model may not, you know, be quite right. And, you know, it kind of helps to think about it as an assistant, right? So if you have very deep expertise in marketing, so maybe our career be standard. How can we, you know, get a, how can we improve our marketing? And you might tell me different options, and I'm not going to click on stand to get to the answer, right? Like I'll just like learn, and then I'll go and reach out. So I think that's probably a better model, yes. Right? So we're definitely moving away from this kind of whole click experience that was really built by Google to, you know, optimize and charge them for the clicks, etc., right? Which was a very specific and fragile model, because it's a pain to like click 10 times, right? When you want to book a hotel and have like 15 different tabs open. So this is going away for sure. It was just like an inferior, you know, UX and product. And it's being replaced by something that's better. So I think it's more about the revenue, right? And this is the whole attribution issue that maybe we'll talk about. But basically, short answer, I wouldn't worry too much if you see less clicks from Google, really.
Yeah, so you might still be okay, because they're still learning about your brand, understanding what you provide, but you've got to get mentions. So let's come back to that, yes. How to actually get mentions, people are very, very interested in that. This is like a big, big, you know, focus for a lot of marketing folks that I talk to right now. But can you talk me through an example? So you talk about these fan out searches, and you mentioned something before. So let's say you're just, you know, take an example, you're searching for a vacation, but it's like a particular thing. It's not just, you know, you go into Google and you type one little prompt, right? No, you need certain things. You need to be by the beach, and you need to be within walking distance of a coffee shop or a surf shop, whatever. So they're having these conversations almost like with an assistant, like you said, a lot deeper. Can you talk me through that concept? And then is that what a fan out is? Can you explain that and how you help your clients just think about how do you own the end of that fan out conversation?
Yeah, that's there's no playbook right now to be visible in ChatGPT and get your fair share, right? Like just having like as many mentions as you should, really, based on, you know, your existing brand. But there are a couple of things that are appearing, and what you're hinting at is one of the things that's starting to be a sort of repeatable, you know, method. And so I kind of like, I mean, maybe it's a little bit geeky, but I kind of like this concept of search density to start with, just because it's like a bridge from the old world of SEO to like the new world of AI search. So it's sort of bringing a bit of familiarity, I think, in it. And it's just saying that, and I did a little YouTube video where I'm going through a real ChatGPT conversation of someone who's looking, you know, preparing a trip to Italy. And they start by asking about an itinerary. You're probably one of the 10 people watching.
I'm going to put a link, by the way, to that video in the description of the YouTube of this, so people watch it. It's eye-opening. It's excellent.
When I talk about it, people say, oh, it looks super interesting. And then it's like, it's anyway.
Yeah.
But, so it starts by asking for an itinerary. So it's very informational. There is no brand in the answer. It's literally like, I'm starting from this city in Italy and I'm going to this one, which, you know, interesting things there are in between. So, okay, like in terms of search density, so you've got like 5 Google search already in there, right? Like super, super cool. And then he's honing in on one city and he's asking about restaurants in that specific city.
Right.
So that's the first step where you've got like brands appearing in the answer.
Yes.
So it's going from informational to commercial in the kind of lingua, you know, marketers.
Very smooth. Very smooth. Exactly what the user wants.
And also with a specificity, which is that he has celiac disease, right? So so it's going through the funnel, but it's also getting specified. It's like branching out to what he is what's most relevant for him.
Non-gluten options, maybe no pizza shops. Yeah.
Yeah, which in Italy is going to be an interesting challenge for him. But yeah. But anyway, so he's like looking at different restaurant options. And then the last one is he's asking like specific budgets, like prices. So basically now it's getting in the lingua of marketers like transactional. It's really like you're ready to, you know, you're ready to pay, right? And he may or may, we don't have that in the conversation in the app, but he may or may not have clicked on one of the links, right? So this is super interesting because you see that, first of all, in one ChatGPT search, you've got, you know, 100 Google searches. You also see that you're going down, you know, and I'll get to the concept of fan out in a second, but you're also going down the funnel. So from, you know, more informational to more likely to buy.
Yep.
And so if you're a restaurant right in the city and you have like a great, it's actually a really good example because if you have like a good menu for people with celiac disease, you should get your fair share, like you should get mentioned in this conversation. It's literally, you know, like the ChatGPT is doing a good job if they mention you, right?
Yes. Yes.
And I don't know if you want to just go into that right now, but yes, there is this idea that ChatGPT is looking at 2 sources when answering. Mm. The first one is the training data, so that's more or less static. It's updated maybe quarterly, maybe annually. And if you're a very large brand, you're probably gonna have a very big footprint in the training data. So, for instance, for the informational question, if we keep on this one, so what's a good itinerary in Italy? Those things, you know, the cities. There's not many new cities in Italy. Year after year, right? So ChatGPT is not going to do a web search. It's just going to look at the training data and answer from the training data only. And if you're a brand, a very large brand, you're similar to a very large city for ChatGPT. You're very well known.
Yes.
Now for smaller brands, which is 99% of the brands, right? This is like only one or two very big brands in each industry. So for everyone, and probably anyone who's watching now, ChatGPT may not have enough information in the training data.
Right.
So what it's going to do is a web search, and what happens there is that it's like summarizing the question by the user into a bunch of keywords, really, to put it simply.
Yes.
Like 5 keywords, 7 keywords, sometimes up to 12 keywords. And then it's going to take those keywords, do a web search with basically a Google search.
Kind of Google, back to Google.
Yeah.
Yep.
Back to Google, so we won't get into exactly which, because there's been a lot of debates there. But basically, it's doing a Google search, okay, to put it simply.
Yes.
And if you are in the answers, like if you are one of the links in the results,
it's good.
And it gets interesting because you don't have to be number one, by the way. So if you are sort of, I can tell you exactly how we estimate like how far it's going, but if you're somewhere in the answer.
Even if you're not on the first page of Google. Even if you're like answer 23 or result 23.
We estimate it's top 30.
Wow, this is great info.
It depends. Yeah. It depends of how specific the question is.
AI can just read all of it very quickly. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And it depends how specific the question is. If the question is very specific, it's kind of like in the world of SEO, it's like if you look for celiac, it's gonna do like a web search which is gonna be celiac restaurant Torino or Milano.
Yes.
And in this one, like, you probably have to be number one because you know it's probably not going to look much further, right? It's very specific. It's long tail, right? In the yes. world of marketing. If it's something more general, it's probably going to look at, you know, just best restaurants Torino. Mm-hmm. It's going to look probably at the top 30, maybe top 50 mm-hmm. even. It depends. Mm-hmm. So if you're somewhere in the results there of this web search, which is called fan out because it's fanned out from the prompt, that's how you're going to get in the answer.
Very nice. So tell us, let's get to the answer. This is what people, you know, really, really want to know. I imagine, you know, viewing this video right now and having you as a guest, I would love to ask you, like, what do you do then? You've mentioned ChatGPT has these two sources, right? The training data, which is that big corpus of data that the data centers store, and they scrape Reddit and LinkedIn and Wikipedia and all of those things, and that's what the model is trained on. So it has that body of data. Also, you've got your traditional search, just have an online presence. When you start working with a client, I screwed my camera up a little bit. When you start working with a client, what do you advise they do? How do they get mentioned by LLMs? And here, please feel free to also explain how you do it, at GetASO. Perfectly fine. But you know, help them just frame a mental model of how to do it.
Yeah. So the way we do at ISO is much more experimental than what we advise to brands. What we advise to brands is something where you're going to get results quickly. It's guaranteed, you know, you're going to multiply your impression between 2 to 10 with something that's manageable. Okay, so that's like the way I'm going to describe now. And at ISO, we do other things that are basically just also testing like the edge of how the AI is working. But for a brand today, the easiest way to be visible. So of course it depends on the size of the brand, if you've already done some SEO work, etc. But I'm going to take like a sort of like,
and
you know,
it helps. I assume it's good if you've already done some SEO work. It helps. That doesn't hurt your efforts.
Yep. Yes, absolutely. So essentially, to put like a little workflow together, to be visible in ChatGPT right now, you need to first know what people are asking ChatGPT. That's like the keywords in Google. Once you know what the people are asking, you need to know the web search that ChatGPT is doing. So I leave completely the training data out. Okay, we can talk about this, but entering the training data is a 6 months piece of work with a lot of resources. So it's not the easiest way to get in there. And it's very competitive, and you probably don't really need it really, because it's probably, you know, it's probably, ChatGPT is probably going to do a web search for the searches you're interested in. So, so basically you understand what people are asking. Then, so of course, here you need to think a little bit in terms of funnel, right? So if people are asking only informational question about the industry where you are, so if we go back to the travel, you know, example, when ChatGPT is asking, like when the user is asking the best itinerary between two cities, mm-hmm. like you shouldn't expect to be there. Like this is not your spot. No. This is not where brands are going to be mentioned. Right. So just forget about those. The very informational questions, forget about that.
Don't even now, spend resources on trying to get into that training data. Forget it.
No, yep. I would say, I'd say, you know, don't, there's a strategy, very long term of brand awareness, but usually to have fast results, don't produce informational content because there probably won't be any brands mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if you go low end the funnel, the commercial and transactional, that's the place where you may be mentioned. So if you're a restaurant and you cater to, you know, people with celiac disease in an Italian city, that's, you know, where you want to make sure ChatGPT is aware of that. So you want to know what are the questions people ask, and then you want to know the web searches ChatGPT is doing to answer this question. So those are the query fanouts. That's what you.
And how would you know the searches that ChatGPT is doing? You almost have to kind of know how they interpret the prompt.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's many tools now offering this. You can. It's literally because it's visible from the browser. So if you look at when you send the question, if you inspect the network request, you can see the web search that ChatGPT is sending to Google. So you literally see it. And usually it's like two of them, three, it's between two and three.
Yeah.
And actually, when people, the more you pay, so if you pay ChatGPT Plus or even Pro, ChatGPT is doing more web searches. So it's really,
Right.
So you can get up to 5, 10. ChatGPT is the way it works. A lot of the question on AdWords is basically just like saving money and optimizing to get like the best answer for the minimum spent. It's a lot of things are related to that. But essentially, once you know the web searches, using a tool or a consultant can tell you, it's you need to inspect a little bit, you know, the browser. Mm-hmm. Once you know that, you want to be in the Google, you know, search results for that query fan out, for that specific web search. And you don't need to be number one, usually. You should be, you know, you should have to be maybe top 10, top 30 is still okay, I think, and sometimes even top 50. So if you're not there, so if you've already done some SEO, what happens often is that you're going to be there for 80% of those fan outs, but there will be like a kind of bit of a long tail, you know, that is kind of only showing up now with ChatGPT, because people are giving a lot more details. So, for instance, if you were at the restaurant, you know, catering for people with celiac disease, you may have just highlighted that you were in a nice location in the city, because that's usually the search that people would do on Google. But now that people are putting a lot more, you know, nuances, because maybe you are celiac disease, but spicy, right? Something like that. Like that maybe you have like a slightly, like an edge or, you know, slightly different. Mm-hmm. And before, it was just such a small volume that you didn't care about. But now in ChatGPT, it's actually becoming, you know, more significant. And so you want to maybe update one of your blog posts or create a new one. Yeah. That's usually one of the two, where you mention a little bit more of this long tail, you know, specific, you know, feature of your offering, and then you're going to see mechanically more people coming, more coming from AI, just because you're going to start to show up in the Google search for that, which means you're going to be mentioned in the ChatGPT chats, and people are going to either click or go to your website directly.
It's very interesting. So it sounds like what you're saying, SEO is not really dead. It's just evolving. So even if, you know, yes, you want to get mentioned in these LLMs on that second source, the search, you still need to think about content, like create a blog post that talks about that specific keyword that ChatGPT is going to use when they interpret the prompt. And you still want to be smart about probably H1s and H2s, all your headers. You still want to be smart about content, you know, write it so that ChatGPT sees that article and it brings it up. And the other thing that you're saying that I find fascinating is you don't have to worry about ranking number one, right? So like all that work with backlinks and all the other stuff we do for clients to make sure that they get up top three, because human behavior is very much, no one's going to click to the second page of Google. Now you're saying with AI, just, you know, if it's a long tail, meaning a very specific search, you know, like celiac disease plus spicy plus in Italy, just get an article there so that ChatGPT can grab it and serve up some sort of answer with you in it.
That's it, yeah. So if you've done that, you're 80% there. Then there's a few other things. So once your content is the main thing you should I think about, text content in particular, then for some industries, some products, video content is going to be relevant, especially for some LLMs more than others. And also, once your content on your website is, you know, answering the right questions, you want to make sure that it's easily seen by the LLM. So that's the part that's sometimes described as technical optimization. And really, you shouldn't really think of it as optimization. I think you should just remove the massive blockers that may exist on your website. So one of them, for instance, is that, so I don't want to go too much into gory details, but basically if your website needs to run specific application to be seen,
like, it may be that ChatGPT, JavaScript, stuff like that.
JavaScript being client rendered as opposed to server rendered, those things. So ChatGPT doesn't have like a rendering tool. It doesn't like it. You can, there's a bunch of free tools out there to see how ChatGPT sees your page. And just like make sure it's from like a sort of credible source, and you can easily see, at least have a first idea of whether you're like, you know, are really, really off, or it's all the main information in there, right? If you've done that, you're really in a good place. You're answering the questions people ask, and ChatGPT is able to find the answer. So that's all on site also, right? It's all within the scope of your control. You don't need to do crazy stuff. Yes. It's also usually things you've been doing before, just targeted at slightly different queries, right? Like the ones that ChatGPT is answering. Then there's a whole other section which is offsite, and that I think you should leave this out for now, because this is really to impact the training data mostly.
Right. And this is like Reddit.
And this makes
like,
sense.
That's long form articles on Medium and stuff.
Exactly. Medium actually is a really quick win. This one I recommend to do it because it's very easy to do. But Reddit, so you can duplicate like your star article on Medium. So if you do this, you're going to multiply your mention on ChatGPT by two.
Such a smart idea. Simple. Smart idea.
Yeah, this is really simple. But there are things, so you can look at it, so you come from the investment world, right? So you're very comfortable with like risk and return, right?
Yes.
In investment, it's all
about
that.
That's my world,
yeah. So, yeah, I'm trying to kind of like rise up to this language. And basically, if you look at, you can look at I guess many marketing strategies and definitely like the ChatGPT strategies as on the upside part. As like, you know, in the risk return matrix, or risk reward, you know, or costs, you know,
like,
slash risk.
Like, we call it ROI, return on investment. So what do you expect to get out of every single dollar you put into any particular activity? How much cash is it going to yield back as a percentage of what you initially put in?
But also risk, like not just upside risk, I mean downside risk. Because I'll give you an example with Reddit, which is a real example.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that ourselves, and also we saw like some clients doing it for themselves, and we did some damage control. So basically, if you go on Reddit and you take all the threads that are used by ChatGPT for their training data, so I'll leave out how you can identify them, but you can identify them. So if you identify those and you go on the threads, and you just put your name in that, right? You just put a comment and you say, hey, Stan is the best at marketing and he understands everything about the financial industry. Now, what might happen is that Reddit is a very rude place.
Yes. So it's like X, so, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like X, even worse, I don't know. This is like a premium to be very rude on Reddit. It's like how you look cool, I think. So you might have a lot of people that answer and say, hey, Stan, we saw that it's you.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, you know, we got you.
You're gaming the system. I know what you're doing. Yeah.
You're gaming the system. But so what's happening exactly when they do this is that they answer something negative to your comment, first of all. And also they increase the surface of your, so suddenly you were saying, hey, Stan is the best. And also he's very nice. And you've got like, for each comment when you say this, you have 10 times the comment that say the opposite.
Oh.
So what happens when ChatGPT goes on Reddit and gets his training data from there?
Stan is an asshole. Yeah.
It's a lottery, right? He's seeing once out of 10 Stan is a great guy and 9 out of 10 that Stan is, I don't know.
Not so good.
Not sure.
Yeah.
Not sure. And so now he's saying in his answers, when people are searching for what you're selling, he's saying, hey, you know, this dude is, he might, you know, and actually we've seen this like verbatim, like he might have like dubious commercial practices, or you know, basically exactly the opposite of what you want when a client is looking to make business with you. So that's what I say, risk return is, it's not just cost, right? It's also that if
risk
you do Reddit
in
a brutal way, you can backfire. So I'd say that's why you said it's better to have no Reddit strategy than a bad Reddit strategy.
Right.
But because if you know you can actually really damage your brand, and then you really need to damage control. There are ways to do it, by the way, like, but you need to correct essentially the sentiment around your brand. So if you don't want to spend 6 months owning your own Reddit channel, being super transparent, being super transparent and say, hey, Stan, ask me anything, or answering, like, every time you answer a comment, start by saying, hey, this is Stan talking, okay, so, like, I'm not trying to do some hidden promotion.
Just be transparent.
It's me.
Be transparent.
Yeah, so basically, if you don't want to spend, like, a few days a week for 6 months to start being, you know, because that's the investment you should expect.
Yeah.
Like, just, like, don't do any Reddit, right? And if your website is already optimized.
Fascinating.
If your website is great, like all the on-site work is great, which you really probably will take a few months already, right? Like, but if you're answering all the questions, you have a way to update it over time, and it's easy for the LLMs to crawl, then start to look maybe at Reddit, and I would start from the other side of the spectrum. I would do Medium first, get this done.
Yep.
LinkedIn. So some loved ones have told me that I post too much on LinkedIn, but there's a reason for it. Maybe we'll go into it later. So Medium, LinkedIn, especially if you sell B2B, and then you can go like all the way up the chain and maybe consider Reddit at the end. I'd leave it at the end if you're ready to have like somebody working 1 or 2 days full time a week for 6 months. That's literally what you should put in.
Yeah. So you've touched on something before, and maybe we can backtrack a little bit and getting back to what you do for clients. You said when you create content, you have to know the right questions to answer. And I find that that is like a high ROI area for people to focus. How do you know what the right questions are? So you have focused, and I do read a lot of the stuff on LinkedIn, so please don't listen to the loved ones that are telling you to do less on LinkedIn, because I try to read every single word because I learned something from everything that you do. So please continue. But one thing that I think you said here is like you focus on actual conversations versus simulated tests. I don't remember which one of your posts, but I've seen something like that.
Yeah.
Why is that important? How do clients actually know that these are real conversations that humans are interacting and engaging with AI? And then tell us then, once you do know what the right question is, get us all the way to the answer. What do you do with it?
How do you get in? Yeah. So maybe to start with our background, like the data, the company we did before, was essentially a data sharing initiative in one industry. So we worked in the co-working industry, and we said to the co-working spaces that if they wanted to see the price of their competitors, they had to share their own prices with us. Mm. Yeah. So it's called a gift to get.
Give to play. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. There are many actually industries, like there are many companies like this in many industries. It's just not famous, usually because it's very B2B in the background. Yes. But you have a very famous one in the hotel industry called Smith Travel Research, which was really inspiring us. Bloomberg, which you know, started as a gift to get of bond pricing, inside Merrill Lynch, and then extended to other bond traders. So that was also a gift to get, which was arguably one of pretty successful.
That was successful, but yep.
Yeah. Pretty much, and it could have gone better, but still quite good. And there's lots of them in insurance industry and all of that, right? So I kind of fell in love actually with the business model, to be honest, more than anything else. And because obviously it scales very well, so I love data and statistics and market research. So we did that for co-working, and we started in small cities. We started in individual cities first, and then scale to entire countries, and then global chains, like the equivalent of Marriott and Hilton for co-working, if you want. And then we were acquired by a company building basically a sort of Airbnb for co-working, like a big marketplace. And we stayed 2 years in there, being the sort of data, analytics feature of the marketplace. And as we did this, which was a sort of 5-year journey overall, we learned how you can organize a transparent, well-structured exchange of very sensitive data in one industry. Because those things were prices, occupancy, those things were private information that people did not want to share. So we spent a lot of time understanding how you can make people comfortable with this, how you should aggregate the data so that nobody can guess the data of one specific property.
Right.
All this kind of anonymization and aggregation is called the fancy terms. We spent 5 years learning it, doing it every day, refining it. So that's our background. And then we looked at ChatGPT conversations, and we're okay, nobody knows what people are searching on ChatGPT.
Right.
It's a sensitive piece of information. I wouldn't like to open my ChatGPT to even my loved ones, actually.
Yep.
Because maybe when they talk about LinkedIn posts, I kind of ask ChatGPT for his view on it.
Especially my loved ones. And you have to be careful sharing your screen. I got busted like that. Someone saw an early prompt to ChatGPT, me as a cat. I don't know what I was thinking, but someone called it out and said, "I see how you're using your AI." So you got to be very careful for sure. Ever since I've been much more conscious of that. Yeah, yeah. But because people are asking anything, all these personal. Yeah.
We have one client who said that is the closest thing to reading people's minds, right?
Mind.
So it's really it's a new kind of object actually when you think about it in the world of market research. So it's very sensitive information, and, yes. and it's very valuable information. So we felt, maybe we can apply the same principles that we've been working on and honing in another industry for this. And add to that a lot of typical startup approach of like lots of trial and error, to be honest, of trying many, many things. And then a couple of things kind of stuck.
Yeah.
And without going too much into the details of it, which I'm happy to share maybe, case by case, but essentially the idea is that a selected sample, mm-hmm. okay, so it's not everyone, sure. but a selected sample of people share selected conversations, in particular, not the stuff on translate this email for me, mm-hmm. or, I've started to have to lose my hair. is there anything I can
Although
do?
Although that could lead to a lot of product Although marketing. That's a big product marketing lead. Yeah, fan out from that, it's going to be amazing.
The intersection of the adjacent healthcare beauty is actually a good one, but maybe just I'm just feeling really angry today. Therapist use case, purely productive use case, like translate this. You know, all of that stuff, not interesting, right? But so a selected sample of people sharing selected conversations is essentially how we got that sample, which is in the millions now of participants and conversations.
It's opt-in, basically. It's people that know that they're sharing
fully opt-in, explicit. I see exactly. I click. It's not, I don't really know in the fine print, or so it's really like a panel, you could say.
Yep.
And there is some incentive to share, which actually depends on that. Because now we've refined and done like some kind of targeted collection for specific industries. Before it was much more general.
This is very similar to a lot of the alternative data folks that I deal with. You know, they have some sort of little incentive. And people share their data, where it's clickstream data, you know, browsing data, all sorts of stuff. It sounds very similar to just opt-in generic data collection.
Exactly. And I mean, what we spend a lot of time doing now is to have that data for specific kind of people. So, you know, buyers of the brands that we work with in particular. And there's a bunch of systems that we put in place to do this, and business models. But so then in the end, you have a data that is sort of large enough and relevant, right? So it's like wide and deep, because in data, you know, you have always a trade-off between coverage and accuracy. And we try to, at the beginning, we really went for coverage, like kind of mass scale, and now we're focusing this year on accuracy. So like really going super deep on travel. That's like one of our preferred vertical. But we also like beauty and consumer electronics, a little bit of financial services also. So we have those verticals we like, and we're going like deeper in them now. So
you do some healthcare some healthcare searches, or not really?
We do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a big because I mean there's other stuff that's kind of adjacent between healthcare and beauty, right? I have a dark spot. What can I do about it?
Yes, yes.
So that's, we definitely do that. And then the real, real healthcare thing, like kind of using ChatGPT as a doctor, we don't.
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't.
Fair.
Too sensitive, too personal.
Yes.
And nothing to sell. Also, it's not for marketeers. I'm personally like very interested in it. So I kind of, but this is probably another conversation, because this is not a marketing exercise. I'm just very interested in AI. Yeah, and health.
Me too.
So that's something I follow personally very closely. But for our clients, no, it's really something where there's something to sell at the end, right?
That makes sense, because you provide, it's not just data that you provide. You provide actual insight into what these businesses, customers are searching for, how they interact with AI and LLMs, and you search them. You basically sell them this tool that helps them get in there and helps them do the right thing, take the right steps to eventually be mentioned in LLMs.
And that was your question. You know, once you know what people are asking, how do you get in the answer? And that's so essentially the core, the raw kind of material that we have is conversations. Right. So it's like one term, maybe like one user question, and then we've got metadata on the location, a little bit of things to help filtering. But that's the raw product. And then what happens in 80% of the cases is that you say, hey, Stan, here is like a CSV file with like 10,000 conversation about, and people are like, yeah, I'm just like not gonna open this, like ever, you know, I don't even want to touch it.
Yes.
So, and as that type of people, you're always kind of surprised. You're like, wow, I just sent you like, you know, 10 gigabyte CSV file and you're not opening it. Like, how can you? But this is something we saw in the previous company also. And so basically right from the start, right off the bat, we said, okay, if you want, you don't have to open the CSV file. We'll just tell you which blog post you're missing.
Yes,
that was like
our
main
way of working. That's what people want. They want the answer. Yeah.
That was the main way of working. We were like, okay, we'll look at your website and you're basically covering, you know, maybe most of the topics, but like there's this one that keeps coming up. Write like add a paragraph in this blog post, and then they do it. We it's not really our core product, but we can also explain how to keep track of your success on ChatGPT. So how to keep track of your mentions, you know, using server logs and also like the referrals from Google Analytics, etc. So we set that up and we say, okay, like do this and let's look at the analytics, and it's minimum times 2, sometimes times 5, times 10, and that's it, you know, drop down.
Yeah,
basically.
That's great. That's awesome.
That's the core of the service, really.
That's excellent. Now, we're to wrap up here. We're coming up on time, but what cool things are you working on right now? What are you building today for the future? Where is this going? I want to hear it from your mind as a visionary, as a leader of the company. What's next?
There's a few things that we're really excited about. So.
Yeah.
The first one I'd say is can we, like, so right now we're really using those AI human conversations as something like the keyword in SEO. So what are people searching for, right, and how can you create content to feature in the answers? So it's actually quite a narrow way to use this. And it kind of came up in some conversations where, you know, that is especially like, for instance, this client who said it's like reading people's minds, where we thought, okay, but like, can we not do more with this? Can we not use it as a, maybe to make product recommendation? So can we not look at what people are asking and then say, hey, you know, these people are constantly asking about that. It's not part of your menu. You know, is it something that could be? Yeah, so going a little bit from marketing to product, or you know, kind of using it as a general market research tool, or panel data on demand, you know, creating little personas that you can query easily, all of this anonymous, but like having, like, you know, it's like it's a big problem in software development and in many industries where you need to talk to customers all the time, and like they have other things to do, right? Like some of them are very nice, but. Yes. But they may, you know, jump on a call like once a week, you know, maximum, and then that's it, right? But imagine you could have like those kind of
on-demand
consumers on demand that you can call, right? And I don't want to spend too much on this one, but when I say call, I mean literally call.
Ooh, like voice.
So that's like a little exclusive.
I love that little window into the future. Love it. Thank you for whetting our appetite. That's exciting.
So that's maybe the second and actually most exciting things we're working on, which is actually
very cool.
It's been a big issue for data companies of like, how do you serve the data? Because like you send the CSV file or dashboards, right? Like when you do data, and we talked about this, right? Like privately, when you serve dashboards, sometimes it works, sometimes people are like, well, I can't find this. And it's like, you're like, well, just use this filter. It's there, right? And like people just like, can't find it, and so that's a big question. How do you actually serve insights, right? It's more about insights really than data. It's like, how do you help people make decisions, informed decisions, and so we're working on I think a pretty cool thing on that front.
And how do people find out about it? How do they follow you? How do they get in touch? Now, so getiso.com is your website, and we're going to have it in the description linked so people can find you. But what's another way that they can just follow your company, see your progress, maybe stay up to date with you, or maybe even ask you a question?
Yeah, so I'm mostly on LinkedIn those days. Ben Tan is my handle, BENTANN. So if you just add me there, we've actually, I tend to just accept any invitation, especially if it's maybe justified a little bit. and that's probably the easiest way. We want to do a little bit more, sort of like publish some of the insights that we've learned, but I think it's going to take a bit of resourcing on our side. But that should come pretty soon. And there's like a company handle also on LinkedIn. The company is called ISO, and I think the handle might be GetISO, like the website getiso.com.
Easy enough. Well, Ben, thank you so much for sharing your wealth of knowledge on this cutting edge area. It's super, super interesting to me. I'm sure a lot of our viewers found it interesting as well. Thank you so much for doing the work, and thank you so much for sharing all the progress on LinkedIn there. I'm a big fan and a follower. So once again, thank you for joining us on the Momentum Podcast, and we'll catch you out there.
Bye. Bye, everyone. See you soon.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for tuning into Momentum. If you found today's episode valuable, don't forget to follow the show and share it with your network. This helps us a lot. To explore how AI can help your firm, visit acadia.im. I'm Stan Altschuler, and I'll see you next week with more practical insights to help turn data into growth and decisions into results with the help of AI.